Hello and welcome everybody to the Thing I Love Most show. My name's Noel Valbon. This week is a little bit different because we are not in our usual recording area of the Blue Coats pub in Tottenham High Road. We're actually ordering it from home for various reasons. So we're doing a Skype show today, which is quite cool. We haven't done it before, so fingers crossed it's all going to go okay. So I'm going to introduce the rest of the team. So we have Lee. Hello, Lee.
How you doing, chaps? All right?
Good man, good man. And then we have Matt. All right, Matt?
Yeah, sorry. My son was trying to make an introduction as well.
He needs to get to know. And then we have Rodney. All right, Rod?
How you doing, mate? You all right?
Yep, good, thank you. So Rod is normally behind the camera, but for this, he's well and truly with us today. So welcome, everybody. All right, so we were going to maybe record this show on Monday, but for various reasons, as in we were all really, really angry. We didn't want to appear like other TV channels that you might have heard of and are YouTube. So we basically wanted to have a bit of like a few days to just sort of take in the result. I discussed it quite a lot of the game last night with quite a few people, actually. So it'll be interesting to see you guys' thoughts. So firstly, obviously, talking about the Arsenal game, obviously, that one of the main talking points to sort of begin with was the dropping or the benching or the resting, whatever it's want to call it, of Alderweireld. Now, the rumours are that either he had an argument with Trippier, random, and that he was basically dropped on the back of that, or that Poch was basically showing him a bit of authority, basically proving that he's still the boss, obviously the fact that he hasn't signed his contract. In the press, obviously, Poch has come forward and says that he was just resting him as normal. But I think we all know that that is a load of rubbish in terms of you wouldn't rest your best players, your best, most experienced players in a game of that magnitude away at Arsenal. It just doesn't make sense. And I just don't buy it. So firstly, let's just kick off to just try and get your guys' views on the reasons behind the exclusion of Alderweireld for that game. So, Lee, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, for me, it was a strange one. It was a strange one. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One, we just come off the back of an extremely good run. And there is that old saying, and a few of the other teams have actually mentioned it, is when you're winning games, you don't feel fatigue. You're not tired. You push through. And, you know, we've gone through the month of November undefeated, and there's been some big games in there. And as we approach that game, that was, with no disrespect to Southampton, that was probably the next the big game. That was a big game for us. So I'm with you. I don't buy the fatigue. I don't buy the tiredness. I think it was just bad. You know, it was bad timing. I wouldn't say it's bad management, because if Poch is trying to hold a dressing room down and show people that he's in charge, you know, he's got to make those decisions. But in the bigger picture, we need to be in that top four. We need to be taking points off the teams around us. And there are, you know, that whether they're our arch rivals or our biggest rivals now, because everybody thinks they're our rivals for some reason. We needed to put them in their place, and we need to put out our strongest 11, come rain or shine, as far as I could see. And if it was about a rest, I think we could have got one more game out of him before the Southampton game, and then by all means rest him then. It's probably something behind doors. I'm not too sure if it goes back to the contracts thing. I think if we've got to accept that he's not going to sign. But I think we'd be the bigger fools to cut our nose off to spite our face by not playing him. He's professional enough. You can see he's professional enough. You know, he comes on, he plays, he gives 100%. He's the real deal as players go. So if we're not going to get no money for him, you know, let's play him and use him to the best of our ability so that we stay in the hunt come the end of the season.
Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was such a strange one. I mean, especially in hindsight, because you think if we'd have won the game, then we wouldn't even be talking about it, would we? But see, my immediate thought was, is he resting him because obviously Foyth can't play against Barcelona, can he? He's not in the Champions League squad. So you might be rightly, he could have rested him into the Southampton game, but you're wondering whether that's in his back of his mind. The fact he knows that if you play Toby gets injured, then, you know, he's got, well, who's he got centre back wise, obviously, because Foyth can't play, you know? But it was, you think against Arsenal, you've got to play your best 11 because you knew they're at their ground, they're always up for it, aren't they? They're always up for it. So as much as Foyth is one for the future, under that kind of intense pressure, you needed someone with experience like Toby, didn't you? That was a game that was set up for Toby. That wasn't a game for Foyth. And, you know, it's given him the experience. And for the going forward, you know, you talk about Toby's contract issues. You know, you wonder again whether Poch is thinking, right, well, Toby's going to be gone at the end of the season. You know, I need to get this guy, you know, fully into the squad now. And what better game to do it than the Arsenal game? But obviously it's backfired, hasn't it, with the result?
Yeah, Rodney, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to go against the grain, I think. I think everyone's looking at Foyth as a bit of a scapegoat. I think Poch is rotating because of the number of games we've got between now and Christmas. And if you actually look at the game and the people who made the mistakes, you can look at Aurier, you can look at Vertonghen, you can look at Davis. I don't know if that would have made much difference to the outcome of the result. I think as a team, we didn't really come out of the traps at all like we did against Chelsea.
Oh, we were. I mean, that first 20 minutes was horrible.
It was awful. I mean, even at half time, we was you know, looking at each other, thinking, "How are we 2-1 up?"
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. It was a smash and grab. It felt like it was a smash and grab. But I think, yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying, and you know, I'm totally in agreement with the fact that it was. I don't believe that Foyth is the scapegoat here. I just think that when you're discussing the reason for the dropping of Toby, then that's a different selection as to what the actual game was like. Because the game, you know, I mean, Vertonghen made the handball. That had nothing to do with anyone other than Vertonghen. Exactly, and people were saying, oh, you know, he was more nervous because he didn't have the experience of Toby alongside him. Is absolutely rubbish. Yeah. He made a mistake. But I think where Poch could have rectified the situation was maybe brought him on at half time, where we could see they were having so much joy down that left hand side. Aurier was struggling massively, and he does struggle, I think, and we struggle with the high press. We just don't perform well. It's happened before against Liverpool, it's happened against Dortmund, Madrid. We struggle. Our players are not that technically sound at the back, and so we do struggle with it. But what we were talking about last night, actually, the game, is that what you find when you get teams that do come at you with a high press is they're always going to be spacing behind. And there was loads of spacing behind. And that's why we were able to get on the break with Son to get the pen. And, you know, but we just didn't capitalise enough to be able to obviously make the game count. But it was, it was such a frustrating game because they were so up for it. And we just didn't, like you said, have come out of the traps enough. And you have to be so up for it in those kind of games.
No, you do. I mean, and this is the whole thing, isn't it, with the sort of sharpness thing and sort of managing the squad between now and the new year. Arsenal had the whole week off. None of their first team really went to the Ukraine for their Europa game.
We've been slow starters this year as well in a lot of games. Obviously, Chelsea was good and we got the early goal, and you know, and it's being at home as well. Again, we go back to the fact that a lot of these games that we're talking about now away from home, you know, so that does make a difference. But I can't remember like a season where we've had such poor starts in games to really put us on the back foot. It's happened so many times this season, and it's like it's so frustrating. But then again, we were 2-1 up at half time. That was the best position we could have been in. And as you said, after, you know, being very lucky in that first half to go in at 2-1. And then
shut up shop, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, obviously we're talking about trying to maybe, if you could have brought Toby on, he eventually put Dyer in a back three. But by that time it was too late. And then you could, and I agree with Poch in this one, and I think that's maybe why he did try the rotation, in that the fitness dropped mentally. You could tell that they tried, but they just didn't have that same energy that these Arsenal players did.
Just giving them a head start now. We've done it so many times this season. And skill-wise and technical ability on the ball and the ability to change a game, we've been quite, I wouldn't say fortunate, because a lot of Spurs fans would think that we are light. I think we're a bit light when it comes to turning the game around off the bench. But we've been quite fortunate in terms of we've had at least one player who's had that ability this season. We obviously would sit there and we would like two or three, but you know, Lamella's turned up this season. So it got to the point where he had such a good start that when he's on the bench, you're almost looking for Lamella to come on and turn a game. And in the past, it's been Son. Now we've seen little glimpses of Moura. I know he's dropped off, but he started well. And then when he was on the bench, people were going, decent. When he comes on, he will turn teams around. And that's all very well when we're talking about your Fulhams and your Southamptons and you know, your Burnleys, with no disrespect. But we gave Liverpool a head start and we never got back into that game. We walk away. I think if we look back at the United game, we think, bloody hell, we did United 3-1. And you still scratch your heads and go, we didn't really turn up. You know, we had half an hour in that game, but it was enough to put them away. But they're a below par side. And the only team we've actually come out and done a job on was Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And that looked like us last season. And when everyone was going, oh, here we go, this is us, we've arrived. You know, yeah. Pennies dropped. And we didn't. And you just can't give teams that sort of head start, and especially in the North London derby. We could have been 19th and 20th in the league. And they were, you know, you've got to come out with that tempo. The way they came out, that's how you got to come out. We did it last season against them. We did it with, I think, when they were still above us the season before, and Harry Kane with a couple. You know, you've got to come out in those games. And it doesn't matter what position you're in, you've got to come out with and chuck everything down and leave everything on that pitch. And we didn't.
What would you put that down to then, Lee? Why we haven't been coming out the traps like that? Motivation? Is it?
I don't think it's motivation, Rod. Because you look at it and you go, I mean, it's Arsenal at the start of the season, once the transfer window closed, and then you hear the news, right, okay, we've brought no players in, we're homeless, and you're going, bloody hell, you're now telling me that stadiums cost extra money and we're not going to have no money to buy players. You go, I sat there and looked at it and went, I'll tell you what, I'll take top four this season. I'll take top four. And I'm looking at these boys, and in all fairness, I mean, except for that weekend, except for this game gone, you've got to say that we were probably scratching around second with the rest of them. And, we're third now, and we are 3 weeks away. And I'm sitting there looking at it going, I'd have taken that. You know, that to me, that's what I asked for and a little bit more. You know, so I don't know if it's motivation. I can't quite put my finger on it. I don't know if the players felt a little bit of a setback because they all thought they was going to be walking into a new stadium and, you know, that, you know, a little bit of a buzz and, you know, we're home and it's going to be absolutely top draw, one of the best stadiums in Europe, possibly the world. You know, we're going to be out there playing. I don't know if they felt a little bit of a setback, you know. And I think every squad likes one or two players added to it. Come, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. I mean, even City chucked Mahrez out their group, you know, because Pep didn't want them to, you know, rest on their laurels. So even one or two players chucked into the dressing room makes you think, okay, well, let me up my game. So what are they, or not all of them, but are one or two of them just a little bit complacent? You know, and I think, is that where Poch has got his issues? Is that where he's trying to prove that he's still boss in the dressing room? Because one or two of them, I'm not going nowhere. You're not moving me. We haven't got the players for you to move me or drop me. And not in a bad way. I'm not saying they're being unprofessional. I'm not saying they're giving less than 100%, but I feel some of them are comfortable.
In his interview after the Southampton game yesterday, not sort of going too forward now, see his face. He mentioned something like he mentioned against Man United with in terms of like aggressiveness and stuff. And you know, even though we won 3-1 last night, there was, you know, they hit the woodwork three times, didn't they?
Yeah.
And there seems to be a worry about, I'm not saying it's motivation, but like, I don't know. There's just this, that edge is just not there. Do you know what I mean?
It was slightly different though, I think. And thank you for already moving on to the second game, jumping ahead. We are going to touch on that. But I think just going back to some of Lee's points, I think being away from home is a factor. And, you know, you're not going to have that same motivation that you would get as in a home game. The home team are always going to have that effect. But also, I think there was maybe the Chelsea match, because it was so good and because we did get so many plaudits and because we did do so well, that they almost became complacent on the back of that, because Chelsea was so bad and made us look so good. I'm not saying we didn't play well, because we did, but there was maybe an element of they didn't think the game was going to be as hard as it was going to be, which is stupid, obviously. And it was the same last season that we went into the game and we were the favourites almost. And again, we came up short. So I can't put my finger on it. I just don't know what it is. But it was incredibly frustrating. And there was a sign of fatigue, I thought, towards the end of the game. And you know, they again, people were talking about the substitutions. I don't think he changed it early enough. He did move Dyer back into a back three, but it was obvious that new system of theirs, we were struggling. And also, Aurier needed support. He just struggled for me. He's not good enough, I don't think, Aurier. He did have a good game against Chelsea, but they weren't really offering much going forward. And for me, I just don't have faith in him in the big games, I'm sorry to say.
I think we've spoken in the past, and Aurier's name's popped up, and whether it was in the a social media group or on the couch, Aurier's one of the players that I would happily cash in on. He's been there long enough. He came with kind of European pedigree, and his probably best games have been in Europe.
Yeah,
which is really bizarre. But then it goes to show you the quality in the English Premier League week in and week out, and the different sorts of players you're coming up against, the different sort of tactics, the different sort of grounds. When you're in Europe, you know, the top teams are setting themselves out in a certain way. You know, they've got to go away from home and they've got to go, right, let's sit back on this, or let's take a goal. When they're playing away, they're like, let's go all out attack. European football is a chess match, but you know what you're getting. You're getting a very defensive side, and you get the side going all out and attack. In the Premier League, week in, week out, you don't know. You don't know what Burnley are going to chuck at you. You know, 19th in the league, and they can turn up and play football one week. You know, they'll stick. You know, you got Lennon. You know, Aaron Lennon could run down the wing on any given day and float past a few people. Whether he finishes with a decent cross remains to be seen. But you know, he would terrorise a lot of fullbacks with his pace. Then they could come up the following week and they go long ball straight up to Woods and Vokes. And Aurier doesn't know whether he's coming or going in the Premier League, as far as I could see. And him and Foyth together on that side, I thought that was a poor call. It was a poor call because I think he went with the fact that Foyth is slow and Aurier would bail him out with his pace. But the first goal came from Aurier's mistake.
Yeah, and that free kick.
Yeah, and if you've seen it on TV, he turned round and he absolutely barracked Foyth for about 15, 20 seconds while they was arguing about it, because Foyth didn't read his mistake. You know, Foyth didn't go with the runner behind him, but, well, sorry, mate, you're a £30 million defender. You just let the ball bounce under your foot. You know, he had the audacity to turn around and hammer this 21-year-old kid, and I was just like, no, not for me, you know. Mm.
He mentioned it on commentary, didn't he? Gary Neville said, you know, he's too worked up.
He was very emotional. I mentioned it in the group. He was emotional. You know, he's probably the one that sat there and go North London derby. You know, he's read into it. He's got himself fully pumped, and his levels of energy and how pumped he was didn't match his ability, and that was the problem. You know, you got like an ADHD kid running around who can't kick a ball properly. You know.
Controversial.
Well, he had energy to burn. He had energy to burn, and he didn't have the ability to match the energy, and that's the problem. And I felt Walker Peters was very unlucky not to, you know, if you're not going to play Trippier, but you're good enough and you're bold enough to go with Foyth, then I think Pochettino's treated Walker Peters quite harshly, because he's come in, and every time he's come in, that lad's delivered. And
I totally agree.
And he's got, listen, it doesn't matter what age group it is, he's got more than the rest of those guys. He can chuck a World Cup winners medal down there. Do you know what I mean? So the kid can play. He's played at levels. He plays at left back for his country. You know, you're asking me if he's versatile, if he can perform, if he worries about pressure. You know, he's, how is he not getting a shout? How is he not getting a look in?
We didn't need to buy Aurier, did we? Like Kyle Walker-Peters could have played in that role and probably would be better, you know? And like what you're saying about Aurier as well, he's one of them players where what you was touching on with like with European game, it's a game of chess and you can think about things more. He can be quite rash, can't he? And he's given away number of penalties, isn't he? Because with that frantic pace you got in the Premier League, you haven't got time. Like, you know, if you're rash, it's the worst possible kind of thing you're going to have in, like, you know, playing in the Premier League, isn't it? You know, you don't, being a rash player is not what you need to be. You know, you've got to think quick on your feet, haven't you? And he makes a lot of mistakes. And I mean, I always said with Aurier, he's like one of those players that just, he almost goes in for tackles like he wants to make a little YouTube collection, like, you know, and you just stay on your feet sometimes, you know, and he's just, I don't know if it's his football brain or what it is, but I would much prefer having Kyle Walker-Peters play it right back than him every game.
Me too.
And Kyle Walker-Peters has proven it. I mean, he gets, like you were saying, Lee, he gets so little game time, and we all know it. We can see his ability, can't we? You know, why is he not playing anymore? It doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, I just think if you're going to expose one, expose the other. You know, yeah. You expose the boys to experience. You know, Walker-Peters has probably got a lot more under his belt in terms of internationally. He's got the pace, you know, so he will make mistakes. He's young, he's, you know, he will make mistakes, but he's got pace to bail himself out.
And he gives himself a shot. I think Foyth was, I think Poch was kind of forced into playing Foyth because of injuries, mate, because of Sanchez and Vertonghen being out. And I would never play Dyer as centre back, so.
To be fair, I'm not having a pop at Foyth solely on Sunday at all. Yeah. He's been given exposure, and you know, he had a good game, and Pop did the right thing by sticking him back in and letting him play another one. But you know, there's been games where Walker Peters came in. He's a man of the match, I think, in virtually every time he's played, and he's not played in the next game. You know, and we've gone games where Trippier has been rushed back from the World Cup and he's been tired and Aurier's not been about. And so, I just think I'd like to see a little bit more exposure for him, really. I feel he deserves it.
He's brought back Trippier back early, isn't he? I think he's still carrying an injury from what I've
heard. He definitely looked like I don't think he's going to play on Saturday. So fingers crossed KWP gets a run out, because I think he deserves it. Okay, so that's enough chat about the Sunday. Let's move on to happier times, because we did have a game last night on Wednesday evening, and we played Southampton at a very, very, very empty Wembley, which we'll touch on in a minute. I suppose that actually had quite a big effect on the game, I thought, because there was an element of complacency about the team almost. Don't know if it was because Southampton were poor initially or we just thought it was going to be again a rollover, or it felt like a cup game. It felt like a cup game against a lower division team, even though Southampton aren't that bad. But the whole atmosphere, the fact it's a 90,000 seater stadium and we're only fitting 30,000. I mean, Danny Rose mentioned it today in the papers. Like, Wembley's lost its charm to him. He's lost that, you know, that spark because of the fact that he's playing in an amazing stadium, but it's like half empty. And that's so difficult for them to be able to, and it's difficult for us to try and like create atmosphere to boost those players. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and have a go at loads of the fans that didn't turn up. It's up to them. A lot of people obviously have travel issues and people are very much anti-Wembley because of the stadium. But I mean, it had an effect on the team. I think, you know, we were just lucky in that, We stuck a couple of chances away. I didn't think we played that amazingly. And, you know, if Lloris is man of the match at the end of the day, that's surely got to be worrying against, you know, Southampton at home. I'm going to start with Matt so he has a chance to speak.
it was a real, like, yeah, touching on the atmosphere, it was a really weird one because, you know, 30,000, that would have almost filled up the old White Hart Lane, wouldn't it? But it just made the stadium look empty. And it was strange because the Southampton fans, they, I think they only brought about half their allocation when you looked over. And they was creating all the atmosphere. And you're spot on about it feeling like a cup game. It reminded me, if you guys went to the AFC Wimbledon game last season against Wembley, against Wimbledon. But it had that atmosphere where the away fans were making all the noise. And Southampton have got that, oh, when the Saints, obviously we've got our version of it. And you think that we would take over and drown them out. But we wasn't. It was just, there was nothing from us at all. And when they were 1-0 down, they started doing the old olays, didn't they? And I guess for them, part of it is because, you know, they've only won one game this season, so they're just trying to make the best of anything, aren't they, you know? But there was just nothing from us, was there? It was just completely flat from our fans. But in terms of the game, I mean, yeah, weird one. I mean, we scored the three goals, and we just switched off, didn't we? And just let them attack for the last half an hour. And our goal was leading such a charmed life, wasn't it?
It was unbelievable how many times they hit the woodwork, yeah.
I mean, in going back to what you're saying about the fans staying away, I think you touched on something quite significant there, Matt, with the Southampton fans only bringing half their allocation. I think with it being at Christmas and with everyone getting the refunds on their season tickets, I think that's had a huge effect on people turning up, picking and choosing what games they're going to.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. Yeah, it's that's the thing, isn't it? When you've got a season ticket, and you know if you don't go, that's it. You just lose your money, don't you? But with this, we're basically, you know, you're getting the option to keep your money, aren't you? And like you say, with it being Christmas, and they're obviously, you know, I don't know if it's the case for everybody, but the amount I'm getting refunded for my the new stadium ticket is double what my ticket cost at Wembley. So even if I'm going, I'm still making 30 quid out of every game. Like, you know?
I mean, also last night, it was a category B match.
Yeah.
I mean, that just infuriates me. I sat lower tier. I think it was 55 quid.
Yeah, same as me.
I mean, 55 quid. I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, that just infuriates me how they're coming out with that category, but also why they're not just giving something back to the fans. Like, it would help the team so much to do it. I just don't understand.
I got a coach there, this coach company obviously like the cheap travel to the ground and back, and I was on the coach and they were playing Talksport and I can't bear listening to it, so I put my headphones in the way there. But on the way back, I was listening to it, and there was a Spurs fan that phoned, and he hit the nail on the head. He was saying, look, just anything. He said, even if they bought us a pie, give us a voucher for a pie, it would make the difference, wouldn't it? There just needs to be some kind of, look, guys, we've messed you about. Yeah, a gesture, but there's nothing, is there? And they're even charging £1 for this. I know we're going to be talking about it, but for the South Stand thing. Yeah, they're even charging us for that, you know? It just feels like they're just rinsing us at every opportunity and there's no apology for any of it, you know?
It's so Levy though, isn't it? £1. It's just so Levy. It's just ridiculous.
I think in Levy's defence, I mean, they could refund it, the £1, if you really wanted to, but apparently to test the system, they've got to put at least £1 on the credit card or something.
It's just funny. But it's so true. But it's, you know, I mean, we're laughing about it, but if they did £10 tickets last night or even £20 tickets, you'd probably get about 50,000.
Yeah.
And that would make a difference. And absolutely, that's the way that they should be thinking about this. It's a problem that they have the ability to fix and they're not fixing it. And it's really, really annoying because it will have a detriment to the team. Like, we have to be able to create that atmosphere. We're playing games at home, supposedly. So they have to create that home, and charging us 55 quid to watch Southampton, that's not the way to do it. And they just don't seem to be realising it. And I'm not surprised why fans are starting to get even more angry. They've obviously, you know, the reasons for the stadium delay could just be misfortune or whatever it is. But that's by the by. That's happened. We have obviously, you know, bore the brunt of this, as well as the club financially. And I get that. But the point is that we should still be the ones that are then giving something back. Like, there should be something, there should be a gesture by the club. Agreed. And for there not to have been so far, I think is disgraceful. I really do.
Yeah. And you're saying about affecting the players. I mean, Lee, you were saying, wasn't you, about the interview with Danny Rose. So it clearly is affecting the players, isn't it?
It would do. It's a massive, you know, it holds 80,000 people. And when you're not even filling half of that, and to make it worse, when you're not even filling half of it, but the fans that are there are then spread out sporadically around, you know, if you've got 33, 35,000, but without any real atmosphere. And you pointed out to the, you know, the 1,500 Southampton fans stood together, making enough noise together because they've travelled together. And, you know, we've got like 200 over there and 20 over there. And it's hard to create that atmosphere. And you do, as a player, it does have a bit of an impact on you. It definitely does. You know, it's what you play for. You know, you want to score goals. You want to hear that. You want to hear the crowd. And an atmosphere is huge. It's massive. We played Watford there last season. And they gave all the local schools, they handed out loads of tickets. It must be about somewhere between 15 to 20,000 tickets to all the local schools. And I think that night there was a midweek game near the end of the season. Must have been about 55,000. And I'd imagine that 20,000 of those were free tickets. Yeah. But, you know, it just whacked up the atmosphere a little bit more. And, you know, I know we're talking about giving the season ticket holders something back, but help the players out as well in the meantime.
Absolutely.
You know, help.
Absolutely.
But we did win.
we did win.
Just going back to the game.
And what we did say was we was grateful that the midweek games came round so fast so we could forget.
Yeah, I think it made us all feel better after Sunday, which was good. And obviously Chelsea losing helped and Arsenal drawing. And I think it's good to see Son with a bit more form now. And he seems to be more confident. He seems to be, you know, the old Son that we're used to, basically, which I think is great. And obviously the fact that Lamella is injured, we're going to need him. So I'm thinking about putting in my fantasy league team, but that normally is the curse. So I'm tempted not to, because if I do, then... He'll be a 1 point wonder, and I just don't want to do that to him. He looks so smiley. I don't want to do that.
Well, he's smiling again, and that's important.
That was a positive from the last two games, I think. Son, from what I could see at the Arsenal game, he played pretty well as well.
That was the busiest one for me. He's definitely our busiest player.
He's one of them players, Son, as well, isn't he, that he just excites you when he's got the ball, because he goes at players, isn't he? You know, and he's got a shot on him, he scores goals, he's a fantastic player to watch. I love watching him.
And good to see Skip make his debut as well. Really pleased. Yeah. I think he's class. I really do. He's strong, he's not afraid to go forward, and he's not afraid to get stuck in. I think he's going to be a real player for us.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, so it's Leicester coming up this Saturday, which should be a good game. We normally have good games against them. There's normally goals involved. It's looking like Vardy might be injured. He didn't play last night against Fulham. And so fingers crossed he's not going to play, because he's a good player and he normally does quite well against us. So I think it could be quite a game. I mean, obviously last season was one of our only defeats, and it was a frustrating defeat. It really was, because I didn't think we really deserved to lose. And then the season before, obviously, was when we absolutely annihilated them. So I think we've got to be going there with quite a bit of confidence. Obviously, last night's result would give us a little bit of a boost after Sunday's defeat. So what are you guys thinking? Predictions as well, obviously, we want to hear, guys.
I think for me, with Leicester, it feels a little bit like going to West Ham. Like, it's on paper we can beat them, but they've got, I don't know if it's because of that season when we were sort of fighting for the title, there's a bit of a rivalry there, isn't there? So I feel like they kind of raised their game a little bit against us. I know, like you say, we destroyed them a couple of seasons ago, but they was all thinking about their holiday, weren't they? They was all on the beach, you know, so that's why I think the game was dead from the start. But I always feel like you go there and they just give it a bit extra. you know, so it's always going to be a tough one. Like, we should win it. I mean, like, my prediction, I think we should win 2-1, you know, but it'll be a tough game. Oh, sorry, I nicked your score, haven't I, mate?
Whoa. Just hold up there, Tourette's Terry.
It was looking at your face. No, that's what it was. I just saw 2-1 come up.
Charming. I tell you what, Chilwell, I'm liking him as a player. I think he's looked good for England recently. I think he's going to be a player. I think he could be worth a bid.
I did mention that last season. I like him as a left back.
Didn't do the show last season, so who knows that?
Well, have a look on the social media.
We've got Dean's own there, haven't we?
Hey, have a look on the social media. It's in there somewhere. Him and Damari Gray, I liked. I wouldn't have minded getting hold of this shoot.
So predictions for you then. Matt's obviously taken my 2-1. So what are you thinking, Lee?
I would have gone 2-1. However, they are leaking goals more than before. I think Wes Morgan's probably on his last legs, but they're trying to persist with him. And I think they're a bit more vulnerable at the back than they've been in previous years. So I'm gonna go for the same as last night. I'm going 3-1.
Okay, 3-1. I like the fact that people aren't predicting clean sheets at the moment, which is sort of indicative of the way we're playing. I think set pieces we're struggling.
You don't do that as a Spurs fan. You don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't do that. Should have walked away with one last night.
That was ridiculous. Wasn't
clearly
it?
Offside, wasn't it?
Okay, Rod.
I think if Vardy was playing, it could have been more of a close game with a lot of goals.
He might still play.
Well, 3-1 without Vardy, 3-2 or 4-3 with.
Hang on a minute.
Well, it was 5-4 last season, wasn't it, at Wembley? Last game of the season.
Since when you say predictions, do you give like a variety? That's not the way it works. So it's going to be either 4-3.
It's a spread bet, isn't it?
It is a spread bet. Okay, yeah, all right. Brilliant. So I predict we're going to score one goal. There we go.
Yeah, I am worried about our defence this season, to be fair, though.
Jan's going to be back, isn't he? Because he was only suspended for one game. So do you think they're going to partner him with?
I think Toby.
Yeah?
Big boy with,
But then Barcelona is the next game.
Barcelona next game, I think you see Toby and Jan back. I think Foyth stays.
Yeah, Foyth stays with Toby or Foyth stays with Jan. They might rest Jan.
Drop Toby.
Rest. Whatever.
Rest Toby and bring back Jan and Jan and Toby against Barca.
Yeah, definitely.
If we got the following Saturday, anyone know?
Burnley.
Burnley.
Yeah, of course it is your home, yeah.
Right, okay.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to say that it's going to be a tight match and we're going to actually sneak it 1-0. So there we go.
Have we had a clean sheet yet this season in the league?
Do you know what?
Yeah, we have Palace away.
I've got the stat written down, actually. We've actually, in the 15 games we've played in the league this season, we've actually had 5 clean sheets. Arsenal and Man United, only 2 each. And then you've got Liverpool on 9, Man City on 8, and Chelsea on 7. So we're not doing too badly clean sheets-wise this season.
We're also yet to draw a game.
Yeah. Yeah, the last time we drew a game was back in April.
That's mental.
That's why you play the game. What's this draw?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just play for the winner. Yeah. Next goal wins. Do that one. Next goal wins. I love that. Okay, so we've already spoken about it, obviously, with potential for resting players. Just a small matter of the new camp on Tuesday. Quite a few of us are going out there. It's going to be insane. There's talk of Barcelona resting quite a lot of players. I'm hearing that they might rest quite a lot of players. So that's obviously going to change people's predictions. That's obviously going to change the way the game's going to go. Not to say they haven't got good players in reserve at all, but obviously we're gonna hopefully perform better if Messi's not there or Suarez is not there. They've recently just gone top of their league, so they obviously want to maintain it. And Messi's recently had quite a bad elbow injury, so it could potentially be quite an interesting game. I'm going to pass over to you guys to not just give your predictions, but also to tell us what you think the game's going to be like. I'll go for you firstly.
It's a must win. I think if we want to stay in that competition, it's a must win. So I think we go all out. I think we roll out the big guns and the strongest team we can put out on the night. I think we go for it. And you know what? All said and done, and given our previous experiences over the last couple of years, I think we can come up. I think we come away from there with a 2-1.
When you say big guns, is Sissoko in that first 11 now for you? I don't mean just physically. I mean, is he in that first 11 at the moment, considering with Dembele injured?
I didn't see all of the game last night, so I don't know how he performed. I know he's rested, so I don't know how the midfield looked without him. I don't know how they performed without him. Do you think we missed him?
Well, he did come on for the last 20 minutes or so, but then he played him sort of like right wing in that position that doesn't suit him, which was just annoying. So
I thought that when he came on.
Stupid, really. But I think, if you don't play him, then you play Winks and Dyer. And Winks and Dyer is just not as strong. And it's not as, in that kind of game, I think we'd probably benefit from Sissoko's turn of pace and getting us up the pitch. Because we might find that we don't have that much possession, and therefore when we do get possession, we need to make the most of it. So those kind of runs with the ball might be quite helpful to us.
I'd go the other way. Dyer and Winks would start for me in that game, and if we got ahead, if we got two goals ahead, then we try and sit back and soak it up a little bit, and then you use somebody like Sissoko to get you up the pitch. I think Winks in Europe, that's his game, isn't it? You know, he can get the ball and he can string a few passes together and give us a bit more possession. You know, we're not very good at sitting back and trying to keep teams out. We don't soak it up very well. So we need to be thinking a slightly different way. We need to be thinking getting hold of the ball and using it better. And Winks is probably the best person that we've got in terms of doing that. So,
I like your confidence. Like, if we go two goals ahead, if we go two goals ahead, you'll need to pick me up off the floor. I'll be collapsed in the stands.
On a team zone, it, but you heard it here first, right?
Well, I mean, we can definitely score against anyone. So I think it's just a case of if Loris plays like he did last night, then we've got every chance. I said it before on the show. Like, I really do. And it's going to be an amazing occasion for all of us to go over there. So, okay, Matt, over to you. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a weird, wasn't it? Because like you say, it's a dead rubber to them, isn't it? It doesn't matter if they win, lose or draw. They top the group, don't they? And fingers crossed, they're focusing on the league. But then you start to think it's at the Nou Camp, and you know, Barcelona at the Nou Camp, they play for pride, don't they? No matter, for them, it's probably not even about the points. It's like, you're coming to our manor now, like, you know, we're going to, you know, show you how we play.
Well, they haven't lost there in 5 years.
Well, there you go. I mean, that just backs it up, doesn't it? But it's just, it's one of them games, isn't it, where you can see us doing it, can't you? You can see us doing it. Like, Tottenham, we how many glory nights have we had? Like, even over the European nights have we had, even recently, where, you know, like that Milan one, like, you know, when Kraut scored that goal, when it's nicked that goal to get through to the next round, well, we didn't, because Milan were quite strong at the time, weren't they? So, yeah, possibly we could do that. I mean, I could see it, like, you know, 0-0, and then a bit like the Inter Milan game, just nicking a goal right at the end or something, you know? It's definitely possible, definitely possible.
I also think that PSV might get a result at Inter. I don't think it's beyond them. Yeah, I didn't think Inter looked amazing the last week against us. I think PSV have got goals in them. So, you know, you never know. You never know. So it might not be a case of us having to win. So that will, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting there, whatever happens. It's going to be one of those nights, isn't it?
So just to go back to Lee, what was your prediction, Lee?
2-1.
2-1. Okay. And Matt?
Yeah, 1-0 at last minute.
Flipping hell, don't do that to me. Oh, I'm like getting nervous just thinking about it. Jeez. That, oh my God. I'm going to take my defibrillator. Can you take that through customs? All right. Okay, Rod.
I've sort of, with Lee in that we need to put out our strongest team. I think against Barcelona, it'd be good maybe to have Sissoko with Winks. I think that aggression in the centre midfield might help us against Barcelona. Hopefully we won't freeze on the big stage in front of, what is it, 90-odd thousand, this stadium? Yeah. And no early mistakes. I think we can get a result there. Probably by a goal. I'm going to go for 1-0.
1-0 as well. I like it, our confidence.
Okay. I think we'll get a goal in the first 10 minutes and it will... We'll be biting our nails for the rest of the game.
I'm not watching the last 80.
Exactly.
No, he's going back and forth to the bar, isn't he?
I'll be watching it from the toilet in my phone. Oh no. Okay, amazing. Who knows? I mean, it's definitely going to be an amazing game, and I'm really, really excited to be there. We are going to be broadcasting from there. At some stage, in some format. We're not sure where or we're not sure when, but we'll be doing some videos for you guys as well. So you'll hopefully be able to feel a bit of the atmosphere over there and experience it with us. So that's everything, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on this strange video link up of a show. So I'm going to predict 2-1. Hey, if you didn't know. Okay, so thank you to Matt. Nice to have you once again, Matt. Cheers, Lee.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for taking up those first 20 minutes.
You're and welcome.
And Rodney, thank you once again. And
yes, mate. See you in Barcelona.
See you in Barca, guys. And fingers crossed, it's 3 points in the next 2 games. Well, that'll be 1.5 and 1.5. 3 points on Saturday, and then we want to get that victory in Barcelona. So enjoy your weekend, guys, and we'll speak to you next week.